Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and Bob Garfield is here. You know him as co-host of NPR's On the Media. He's also a columnist for Ad Age. And today, Bob is here with his unified theory of the future of media and his new book, The Chaos Scenario, Amid the Ruins of Mass Media, The Choice for Business is Stark, Listen or Perish. Bob, anybody at Ad Age should be able to tell you that that title is entirely too long.
I'm sorry. I apologize for that, but I was encouraged to essentially summarize the book in the title so that the reading of the book wasn't strictly necessary.
And what is the chaos scenario?
Well, it's this, Brian. The internet has given us untold wonderful things, from YouTube to the Brian Lehrer show online and a drazillion other things. But at the same time, it has also fundamentally undermined the business model that has given us this fantastic, fantastic, delicious symbiosis of mass media and mass marketing for 350 years. It's getting harder and harder on the way to being impossible to produce high-quality content, whether it's a network television show or a newspaper or a magazine, and fetch enough in advertising revenue to pay the bills. And profits are down to nothing in much of television and magazines. Newspapers are losing in the aggregate hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And it's going to get much, much worse. In effect, the media world that we've always lived in is in mid-collapse.
Which,
it's not the beginning of the end, it's the middle of the end.
Which I think we know already. And I wonder if you see this, for example, in the Jay Leno story. And we know that they put him on at 10 o'clock in place of the usual drama shows on NBC in that slot. But here's what's new and interesting about it to me. His ratings are way down from the old 10 o'clock dramas like Law & Order, dragging down all of NBC's primetime ratings. But the network says this is its business model. Leno will make less money, but cost even less to produce than the old drama shows. So the network will actually make more money, but obviously something is lost if this model is for real and if it spreads.
Yeah, well, what they haven't quite said, they seem to be being very straightforward. Oh, yeah, he's a lot cheaper to produce, and therefore the what we lose in audience and advertising dollars is far less important. In fact, our margins are higher. Yeah, well, except they forgot to tell you that the flight of audience from the 10 o'clock slot and from all of their other slots is water going down the drain, and it's going to continue. The flight of audience will continue. The flight of advertisers will continue. The amount of money coming in will continue to get smaller, and they will not be able to keep the lights on for long. Their ratings, not only for Leno, but for their local affiliates, news shows, and for their other late-night shows, are also in the toilet. And it's pitiful to watch. I mean, it's like witnessing a drowning. You're standing on the shore, and 20 yards out, something's happening that you can do nothing about.
But you did this book in a new media way, and I think to help figure out what to do about it. Your book lives online as much as between the covers. It's almost a book-length crowdsourcing project, and you've got readers participating who you call chaotics. Who are these chaotics, and what are they supposed to do?
Well, the chaotics understand that we are in the midst of chaos. They understand that everything that we've always depended on, like forever, is not guaranteed. I mean, there's no commandment. I've read those Ten Commandments over and over, pored over them. There's nothing there that says thou shalt have 60-minute network dramas. I mean,
it's not in the bill. It's
God
not in the,
owes you.
It's not in the Bill of Rights either, I noticed.
No, nor did Isaac Newton have a law of physics about it. I mean, if you really love network TV, I'm sorry, what's going on in newspapers is going to happen in TV before long. In fact, it is happening. And chaotics understand that. And they know that they can do what a lot of media executives do, which is wallow in denial and cling to the status quo. Or they can, you know, kind of suck it up and realize that this is all going away, this fantastic accident of economic history that has so we've so cherished for the last 3.5 centuries is over, and then figure out what to do next. And, you know, the online world gives us a lot of opportunities. It will not replace what we've lost. You know, we can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But in a connected world, if you as an institution, whether you're a public radio station or network TV or the U.S. government or the Vatican, if you understand that you're no longer in a mass world, you can't just go to the apex of the pyramid with the megaphone and start shouting to people and expect them to do your bidding, and that, but instead that you have constituencies and stakeholders who really feel a proprietary interest in whatever your institution is, and you turn them into a resource and stop treating them like credit card numbers and just seats in a pew, why the resource that they represent is just incalculable. And this book talks about what I call the art and science of listenomics, which is about learning to listen to your many, many audiences, and not only because you can get a lot of intelligence from what they have to say, not only because if they coalesce against you, suddenly they're a mob, but because they are a bottomless reservoir of ideas, energy, loyalty, evangelism that are, you know, better than anything you've ever had in-house or represent far more than all the consultants that you could ever bring in.
So that's a nice, intriguing...
It's a happy world.
That's a nice, intriguing word, but what does it mean on the ground? If Jay Leno is an example of the decline of mass media, what's a positive example of listenomics in action?
Oh, let me tell you about Lego, and I'll try to be brief about this, but this is the most fantastic story. Lego is a company that has made a gajillion little plastic bricks. If you are a parent, you have at 3 o'clock in the morning stumbling to the bathroom, had one impaled in the sole of your foot. It's the most ubiquitous toy in human history. But, you know, this is a World of Warcraft 21st century, and Lego was going into it selling little plastic bricks, and they were feeling it in their business. So they decided to introduce this line, a Lego line of robots that were programmable robots using various Lego gear. And they thought, well, you know, 12-year-old boys are going to just love this. They get their own robots. They get to use Lego bricks. They get to program. It's going to be great. Well, it wasn't really great. The 12-year-olds found it a little too complex. And so, but what happened was another culture coalesced around these toys. And it wasn't 12-year-olds in the target audience. It was adult, total geekazoid losers, the kind of guys who hang out at Radio Shack. And they loved this product called Mindstorms. And they built these little, you know, chat rooms, web pages, and de facto social networks before anyone used the word social network around these toys. So when Lego decided to relaunch the second generation of Mindstorms, they invited these people in to their headquarters in Billund, Denmark. They flew there at their own expense, spent several weeks, then went home to wherever they came from, and continued collaborating with the Lego people. They reinvented Mindstorms, and not only did they design these things, they went home and became their greatest evangelists. To this day, this crowd of people represents the 100% of the Mindstorms marketing program. Not a penny of advertising has been bought in support of this brand. And it is the single most profitable brand in Lego corporate history.
What a great story.
That there is your listenomics.
But not media.
No. Well, I mean, is it not media? Are not the web pages, the chat rooms, the blogs and so forth that have... that feed this culture media? Of course they're media. They're just new media. Unfortunately, not a penny in advertising has been exchanged, and it therefore has not gone to Viacom or Disney or Gannett or Rupert Murdoch, and that spells trouble for Viacom and Disney and Gannett and Rupert Murdoch.
So where does news come in? Because if that's new media toys, what's new media news under the listenomic model? Or if you could invent that, then you'd be a rich man saving the business, saving the vital function in our democracy.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I can save the news business, but you know, one of the things I just, you know, I've been glib on this subject till now, but I should say, you know, journalism is one of the things that over 350 years has thrived thanks entirely to this perfect symbiosis, the yin of mass marketing and the yang of mass media. And it has, advertising has underwritten journalism, and not just the, you know, the trash 24-hour cable news, but the real reporting that has that has fed our democracy and kept us informed and kept governments under check and reported wars and so forth. It was all on Procter and Gamble's dime, and that's over. And as we all are familiar with now, newspapers are collapsing left and right. They're in bankruptcy. They're shutting down the presses altogether. It's a mess, and it's not going to get better. So where does that leave us? Well, the online world gives us something. It gives us blogs. It gives us nonprofits. It gives us citizen journalism, none of which will replace in its entirety the in the brave new world, we will not have the bounty that the cowardly old world provided us for three and a half centuries. But we will have less, but we'll also have more. Because after all, as you've discovered on your very own show, the crowd represents a pretty good reporting legs. You know, you got people out there in your audience who are doing the job of journalism and helping you with your stories. And there's a lot of them out there. And we have access to do stories now that we could never have done before. So, in some small ways, journalism is going to benefit from the power of connectivity and power of the crowds. In large ways, the New York Times is going to continue to dwindle in tragic ways.
Bob, we have 30 seconds left. Bob Garfield, co-host of NPR's On the Media and author now of The Chaos Scenario. And while you're on, somebody wrote on our website, Bob, since I'm planning on dressing as you for Halloween, I got the smirk like totally down, and I'm picking up the beard and blazer this weekend. Now, pray tell, give me the one secret detail that will bring my costume to life.
Oh, man. I would suggest that they go to the corner of the Halloween store where they have strength of character.
Strength of character, he modestly says, bypassing the Phillies hat altogether as the final finishing touch. The Phillies, who tried every which way to blow that game last night and failed.
They certainly did. I mean, Brad Lidge, he's going to burn a hole in my stomach before this is over with, but I think they will prevail.
Bob Garfield, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Bob Garfield with doom and gloom for old media, but hope there for new models to support journalism and other worthy things. And coming up next, our word geek, Aaron McKean, looks at another word in the news. The word this time is sanction. The good meaning and the bad meaning. Stay with us.